They're going to kill us. They are going to kill us. Man, these guys are killing us. This is a Damo podcast. Coming up on this very brief show for y'all today, as ISIL or ISIS rolls, Obama trolls for support via apologetics. Oh, and Pope Francis sells Vatican II nonsense on the same breath. And feel my pain as a long-suffering Leafs fan. Feel it. Share it. Nobody wants to play in Toronto. Nobody wants to set foot in Toronto, because it's a freaking mess. That's coming up. But first, yeah, they're going to kill us. Let me quote Time.com, okay? Check out this story. Little Caesars is rolling out a deep dish pizza with a crust wrapped in 3.5 feet of bacon. Really? 3.5 feet of bacon, promoted with the tagline, in bacon we trust, in bacon we crust. The pie is an 8-corner deep dish pizza wrapped in decadent whole strips of thick cut crispy bacon and then topped with pepperoni and even more chewy pieces of savory bacon goodness. End freaking quote. That's according to the news release. And while some pizzas can be part of a healthy diet, this pizza is not one of them. Each slice reportedly has 450 calories. This is real. Each slice has 450 calories. Little Caesars will be offering the pie from February 23rd through late April, because, well, you have to put a time limit on something like that, right? It is, and I'm still quoting Time.com, it is the latest eyebrow-raising bacon stunt at a time when there seems to be a bacon version of everything from toothpaste to vodka to shaving cream. Where are we headed, folks? And you know what? That's where Time.com nails it. It's almost the stuff of chemtrail conspiracy, isn't it? I mean, where is this obsession with bacon coming from? Seriously, the last few months, you check out my Facebook feed, and it is inundated. And I don't know if that's a mild shot at this overly plumped out father of two. Don't know. Not going to make that call. But I don't know why I'm getting this. I'm just inundated with all these bacon memes. Have you seen them? I mean, I've tried to devise a way in which I can steal away in the middle of the night to the 24-hour grocery, unbeknownst to my wife, and buy a bag of tater tots and a package of bacon. Have you seen that meme? It is, they're tater tots wrapped in bacon. Bacon wrapped tater tots. And the pictures are unbelievable. Trust me on that. Trust me. Me loves bacon more than the next guy. But this is getting ridiculous, isn't it? I mean, pizza crust that is essentially bacon, 450 calories per slice. I mean, there was a time when I was thinking bacon. I mean, is it all that bad? I mean, it is natural. It comes from a pig. I mean, how does it compare to breakfast cereal? Oh, glad you brought that up, Damo. I pulled this from a blog called Nourishing Our Children. And again, keep in mind that I have been on this relative kick of trying to find ways to get my family eating healthier because I God forbid they take their lead from their father. But get this, from Nourishing Our Children, in essence, toxic grains. Again, we're talking about cereals. A typical American breakfast consists of a bowl of cold cereal, which is made by a process called extrusion. That's gross, isn't it? An extruder is an industrial machine that produces little flakes, O's, and other shapes, and puffed grains using high temperatures and pressures. This includes puffed rice cereal and rice cakes, neither of which we recommend. No kidding. The Weston A. Price Foundation asserts that the cereal industry has convinced the United States Food and Drug Administration that extruded grains are no different from non-extruded grains on the effects of extruded foods on either humans or animals. However, two unpublished animal studies indicate that extruded grains are toxic, particularly to the nervous system. They are trying to kill us, slowly but surely. And how do you not delve into the conspiracy theories that are out there? I mean, my goodness, we got pizza being made at the local pizzeria that totals 450 calories per slice, not the entire pizza, per slice. The crust is pure bacon. Incredible. So after hearing the stuff from Nourishing Our Children, that blog site, what does this dad do the other morning? I was looking in the fridge, couldn't find anything. I served up some baked beans for the boy for breakfast. I figure, hey, this has got to be better than a bowl of crap, right? Now, of course, I'm talking about cereal. It is baked beans better than cereal, but it's got me thinking about the heavy metals now within each bean packed tight for months on a shelf somewhere. And I'm thinking lesser evil, lesser evil, lesser evil, I guess. And now bacon pizza. Yep, them chemtrails. I'm convinced those chemtrails are wisps of bacon fat floating in the ether. It's invaded our space. It's invaded our brains. And now we've got bacon on the brain in the form of crust that is bacon. Speaking of which, I gave the boy beans the other morning. You want to speak chemtrail? Brother, you got no idea. Scrambling for clean undies and whatnot. All right. Let's move along, shall we? The Islamic State continues to roll along. And as I say that, I do want to pull up a video that has invaded the internet over the last little while. The Islamic State continues to roll along with apologies from the U.S. commander, Muslim in chief. Check this video out.
Al-Qaeda and ISIL and groups like it are desperate for legitimacy. They try to portray themselves as religious leaders, holy warriors in defense of Islam. That's why ISIL presumes to declare itself the Islamic State. We must never accept the premise that they put forward, because it is a lie. Nor should we grant these terrorists the religious legitimacy that they seek. They are not religious leaders, they're terrorists. Given the complexities of the challenge and the nature of the enemy, which is not a traditional army, this work takes time and will require vigilance and resilience and perspective. As Americans, we are strong and we are resilient. And when tragedy strikes, when we take a hit, we pull together and we draw on what's best in our character. Our optimism, our commitment to each other, our commitment to our values, our respect for one another. We stand up and we rebuild and we recover and we emerge stronger than before. That's who we are.
Okay. So did you catch the words from the U.S. commander, Muslim in chief? Obama says, presumes to declare itself the Islamic State. President Obama, jihad much? Islamic military history much? Quote, they are not religious leaders, they are terrorists, end quote. Cue the applause. We are not at war with Islam. Cue more applause. I mean, this is just an egregious slap in the face to those who are equipped with the knowledge, the basic knowledge of Islamic history. King Jan Sobieski, I truly believe this. He is shaking his head in heaven at this piss-poor excuse for a leader of the free world. And then, economic grievances. Say what? Economic grievances. Props to Obama for what it's worth to basically lambaste the comments of State Department spokeswoman Marie Harf, who just the other day basically stated, hey, you want to stop ISIS? Give them jobs at the local McDonald's. And then today she comes back with, hey, y'all are all too dumb to get where I was going. My argument is, quote, too nuanced for all y'all to understand. I mean, what an insult. What an insult. But if you thought that was bad, how about what emanated from the Vatican? Pope Francis essentially looked at the slaughter of 21 Coptics just recently as a way to, you know, slip in some Vatican II ecumenism. Okay, so I'm going off of a pewsitter.com write-up that echoes another blog highly critical of the Pope's comments / sales pitch. I call it a sales pitch because, I mean, this is the church that we're in, isn't it? This sort of like sell Vatican II at all costs. The critical blog, Call Me Jorge, takes issue with a paragraph from the Pope's response to the recent beheading of 21 Coptic Christians on a beach in Libya. Okay, so this is Pope Francis from February 16th. I would now like to turn my native tongue to express feelings of profound sorrow. Today I read about the execution of those 21 or 22 Coptic Christians. Their only words were, Jesus, help me. They were killed simply for the fact that they were Christians. You, my brother, in your words referred to what is happening in the land of Jesus. The blood of our Christian brothers and sisters is a testimony which cries out to be heard. It makes no difference. It makes no difference whether they be Catholics, Orthodox, Copts, or Protestants. They are Christians! Exclamation point. Their blood is one and the same. Their blood is one and the same. Their blood confesses Christ. As we recall these brothers and sisters who died only because they confessed Christ, I ask that we encourage each other to go forward with this ecumenism, which is giving us strength. The ecumenism of blood. The martyrs belong to all Christians. End quote. So I'm still quoting pewsitter.com. After noting that the Pope actually said Copts or Lutherans and not Copts or Protestants, the blogger goes on to cite a vital quote from the 1438 Council of Florence regarding what constitutes an actual martyr. Now, folks, this is pretty heady stuff, okay? This is pretty vital. We're talking about the definition of terminologies. All right, which has sort of been swept under the carpet in this modern age, huh? How we sort of, you know, finagle our way around words and their meanings. Again, from 1438 Council of Florence, what constitutes an actual martyr? Quote, it firmly believes, professes, and proclaims that those not living within the Catholic Church, not only pagans, but also Jews and heretics and schismatics, cannot become participants in eternal life. Again, this is before 1517. So let that sink in for a bit. Where was I? In eternal life, but will depart into everlasting fire, which was prepared for the devil and his angels, quoting from Scripture, Matthew 25:41. Unless before the end of the life, the same have been added to the flock, and that the unity of the ecclesiastical body is so strong that only to those remaining in it are the sacraments of the church of benefit for salvation, and do fastings, almsgivings, and other functions of piety and exercises of Christian service produce eternal reward, and that no one, whatever almsgiving he has practiced, even if he has shed blood for the name of Christ, can be saved, unless he has remained in the bosom and unity of the Catholic Church. That's it. That's the quote. I think there's somewhere in Scripture where Jesus says, you know, not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will enter through the gates. So again, take that for what it's worth as well. Why is this teaching, again, quoting from pewsitter.com, why is this teaching from a clear council of the church and other magisterium like it so utterly dismissed today? Good question. Why does the Pope proclaim martyrs, where in fact they are in doubt, and then extend the term even to Lutherans? In the Church of Francis, is there any point in living and dying as a Catholic, or do you just have to be what ISIS considers Christian? Good flippin' point. Makes me think that maybe proselytism is solemn nonsense. All right, let's move along to our next topic. I swear these guys are trying to kill us. Seriously. Trying to remain loyal to Leafs blue and white has just taken another turn for the worse. And this on the heels of rumors that Phil Kessel is being shipped to Florida. Sports radio in Toronto, they ate that stuff up. They ate it up. It made me recall the days of trading Wendell Clark to the Detroit Red Wings for Sergei Fedorov and Steve Yzerman. This from so-called knowledgeable Leafs fans. It's madness. And the trade of two of their most consistent players all season long, Cody Franson and Mike Santarelli, to Nashville for essentially an aged Finnish forward who is playing only to get the hell out of Toronto come trade deadline day, really certainly exacerbates the situation, doesn't it? You know, I was highly critical of the trade. I mean, Franson and Santarelli, in my estimation, two of the most consistent players the Leafs had all season long, knew their role, executed their role quite well, in my opinion. And I was thinking that later on, as we neared closer to the trade deadline date, that their stock would go up. I mean, these are the type of bodies that teams that are looking for that extra edge are looking for to really make an impact in a long run in Stanley Cup playoffs. And yet they're dealt, in my opinion, again, way too early. For what? For what? And if you thought that was it, there's a report today at TSN.ca that the Oilers and the Jets, Edmonton and Winnipeg, top the no-trade lists. The Edmonton Oilers are the most common team on players' no-trade lists around the NHL, followed closely by the Winnipeg Jets. Oh, and the Toronto Maple Leafs. The Toronto Maple Leafs, one of the most storied sports franchises, not just hockey, sports franchises in the world. The Toronto Maple Leafs, no one wants to set foot in Toronto. According to ESPN.com's Craig Custance, who spoke to agents of NHL players, there are a myriad of factors working against these clubs when it comes to attracting players. From losing, to climate, to media, and in many cases a combination of all three and more, these places become completely undesirable to an athlete. Climate. Because it sucks having to play hockey in a place where winter happens.
Quote, I can tell you it's pretty much automatic that Edmonton and Winnipeg are the first two names anyone comes up with, one agent told Custance. Winnipeg is at least winning a little bit. Edmonton is a complete nightmare. I hate to say it, but it's the Canadian teams, another agent said. Vancouver would be the most desirable out of those teams. There's Winnipeg and Edmonton, Toronto because of all the bad media, and Montreal. Either you love it or hate it. The Oilers in 2006 and the Leafs in 2013 have made the playoffs just once each since the lockout of 2005. And the Jets have yet to be in the postseason since their return to the league back in 2011. So, I mean, how is the situation going to get any better in Toronto with your hockey team? And I'm speaking to myself as I look. If there were a mirror here, I would be looking straight into the mirror and asking myself the question, why are you still a Leaf fan? Because they're really trying to kill you. They are trying to kill us. I think we should kill this entire podcast. Damo podcast number one done. We'll see you again. Take care.